Amen, amen, amen. How y'all feeling, TGH? The Bible says to enter his gates with thanksgiving and to enter his courts with praise. And I don't know about you, but I know we just literally celebrated Thanksgiving, but I'm tired, y'all. Anybody else tired in God's house? Yeah, yeah. The beautiful thing about Thanksgiving is it doesn't depend on your mood. That you can be tired and still give thanks. Oh, y'all not talking to the preacher. That you can be weary and still worship. That you can be grieving and still experience grace. And God wants somebody to know today that we're coming up on the last month of 2022. That we got one more month left in this year. And I don't know about y'all, but I love sports. Like my favorite games to watch are the games with the last second comebacks. And I don't know how this year was set up for you. I don't know if this was a year that felt like a setback, but God wants you to know that there's still one more quarter left in this year. That there's still one more month left in this year. And there's still enough time for God to do an amazing comeback. But all he needs is somebody in this place with a little bit of faith. He don't need a lot. He just said, give me a mustard seed. He just, I gotta talk to this side of the room. He said, give me a mustard seed. He said, I don't need an apple seed. I don't need a tomato seed. I don't need an orange seed. Give me a mustard seed. Who got a mustard seed of faith? Who can give God whatever little bit you got right now? If you can, let him know he's been good to you. I said, let him know he's been good to you. Amen. Amen. Today we're officially ending our Money in My Hand, Harlem in Our Heart series. Oh, y'all ain't even say, oh, look at y'all. Y'all ready to get this series over with, ain't you? And PK, you done got the boot on our neck. It's just pressure. Get it off. Heard you. Well, this is the last week of the series. And when the series started, I told you give me 4 weeks. Y'all remember that? I said give me 4 weeks. I said give me 4 weeks to press. I said give me 4 weeks to pray. I said, give me 4 weeks to receive the power of God in the area of your finances. So let me just check the temperature real quick. Let me just tap in. Are y'all glad y'all did? Yeah. I said, are you glad you did? Yeah. Amen, amen. See, this is more than a series. This is a shift. Somebody say, it's a shift. It's a shift. It's a shift. God is bringing a shift to this house. A shift. And it's going to shift with what we sow. So you can't reap what you don't sow. And what we've sown in this series is just the start. So beloved, today as we close this series, God said, I got to give you one final thing. See, we've learned over the last 3 weeks why honoring God first in our finances is literally the difference between debt and destiny. We've learned how it's literally the difference between breakdown and breakthrough. We've learned how it's literally the difference between poverty and prosperity. But there's one final thing God wants me to do before we tie the bow on this incredible series. He said, before you end, I need you to connect their money to my mission. So that's where we're going today. If you can't physically stand with me for the reading of God's word, I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Amen. If you didn't say amen. If you're not, say hold up. Hold up. You got 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1. Okay. The Bible says, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. That in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Somebody say generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations because they gave themselves first of all to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love that we have kindled in you, see to it that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. And here's the kingdom principle. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, somebody say me, so that you through his poverty might become rich. If you can, bow with me as we ask God to bless this word. Heavenly Father, your word is already blessed. Really, the only thing you need is just for me to not be a distraction and get out the way. And so God, help me get out the way today. God, you want to do a special thing in this place. I believe that there's one more chain you want to break. So break it, God. Break it, God, so that you can pour out and open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing that this church can't contain. Father God, we are ready. We are weary and we are ready. We are hungry for you. So speak, God. Get all of the glory as you do it. And I pray that the words of my lips and meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, our strength and our redeemer. Do we all agree with that said? Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. You may be seated. Some of y'all still look stressed from that time with family. Heard you. Look like y'all still a little stressed. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Now, last week, I told y'all that I wasn't always generous. Y'all remember that? I told y'all that as a pastor, I had spent a lot of years of my life as a non-tither. Y'all remember that? And though I told you I wasn't always generous last week, that didn't mean that I didn't always give. Now, God sent me to help somebody out today because there is a difference between being generous and being a giver. Somebody say giver. Giver. See, I was a giver. I would give you the shirt off my back if you asked me for it. I'm Selena Ann Bruno's son. Like, my mother had the biggest heart in the world. My mother would give you whatever you ask for. And I got that heart in me. So you ask me for money, you ask me for a shirt, you ask me for clothes, you ask me for anything, it's yours. I've always been that way. I didn't need the Holy Spirit to be that way. Some of y'all don't need the Holy Spirit to give, but you need the Holy Spirit to be generous. You see, even though I was a giver, I wasn't generous. I didn't tithe, I didn't give to God first, and I didn't sow into his kingdom before my castle. And because of that, I didn't experience the abundant life that he promised me that's connected directly to my generosity. That there is an abundant life, as we've learned in these 3 weeks, that is promised to us, that is connected directly to our generosity. See, you don't need me to stand up here today and teach you how to give in this last Sunday of our stewardship series. We all know how to give. We give to family in need. We give to friends in need. We give to charities. We give to church. You don't need me to stand up here and tell you, hey, church, this is how you give, do you? We all know how to do that, but we don't know how to be generous. See, generosity is more than spontaneous acts of kindness. It's more than living with an open hand. It's living with an open heart. Write this down if you're taking notes. Generosity is the act of honoring God first. Somebody say first. By ordering your life in order to find ways to give rather than receive. You want to hear something crazy? Can I talk to y'all? I did a quick study this week, quick little word study this week. And I said, you know, I want to see what keywords in the Bible are used and how often they're used. So I first said, you know, let me look up the word believe. Y'all know believe. Believe is important, right? Belief, right? We know how important faith is, belief, all that, all right? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Believe, right? We know that word, right? Believe. Well, that word shows up in the Bible 272 times. It's important, right? Pray. Prayer is important. Is anybody in the house going to say prayer is not important? Who believes prayer is important? Prayer. Okay. Prayer shows up in the Bible 371 times. It's amazing. Love. Ooh, that's our culture favorite word. God is, we talked about that a few months ago, right? God is love. Love. God is love. Love shows up in the Bible 714 times. But the word give? Give is used 2,152 times. Why? I'm glad you asked, TGH. Because God is a giver. If you don't get nothing else from this series, I need you to understand that the God we preach and the God we pray to and the God we worship every Sunday and every day of our lives is a God is a giver. The Bible says, what did you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Everything we have, we've been given. Everything that's a thing in your life has been given to you by God. That's why God has placed so many promises on your generosity. Because God knows if you give consistently, regularly, and sacrificially, then that's when you're actually living like Him. That you can be doing all the religious things that the church and the Bible says you should do and not actually look like God until you start giving. Giving, because God doesn't bless money. God blesses motives. See, there's preachers that'll stand up here and tell you, oh, if you're so 30, you get 50. Lie. No. God don't bless money. He blesses motives. That's why the widow gave a mite. Do you know what a mite was? A mite was a tenth of a penny. And Jesus said she gave more than all the rich people who put big offerings into the temple. Because God doesn't bless money. He blesses motives. Here's a simple principle to understand kingdom economics. Can I give it to you? Write this down. The measure of your life is not found in how much you can acquire, but in how much of it you can give away. Oh, that was so good. That's so nice. I gotta say that twice. I said, the measure of your life is not found in how much you can acquire. That's what the world tells you. Acquire, acquisitions, get more, get more, get more. But the kingdom says, no, the measure of your life is not found in what you can acquire. It's found in how much of it you can give away. And here's what God wants you to see in today's text. God not only uses your generosity to bless and test you, He uses it to build and fund His mission. See, God isn't just interested in saving one group in one neighborhood, in one city, in one state, in one country, in one continent in the world. The Bible says that God wants the earth to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That means God's divine plan is to use little old you. Somebody say, little old me. And your little old given. Somebody say, my little old given. To fund the work of filling the earth with Jesus followers. And there's no better example to learn how our money is connected to God's mission than the Macedonian Christians in 2 Corinthians 8. In today's text, we meet a church who's experiencing deep poverty, yet out of their great poverty, they give sacrificially to fund the expansion of God's kingdom. Can I talk about this today? Point one. Somebody say this with me. Grace makes us generous. Grace makes us generous. There's a book that I highly recommend that you read called The Rise of Christianity. It's a book that was written by an agnostic historian named Rodney Stark. Now, when Rodney Stark endeavored to write this book, he wrote it because he wanted to try to understand how a poor, uneducated, oppressed, and marginalized group of people called Christians grew to become the most dominant force in the Roman Empire. He said it makes no historical sense how this little marginalized group became a group so powerful that the Roman Empire, the mighty Roman Empire, maybe the greatest empire that ever lived, was essentially overthrew by them. How did this happen? So he said, I got to understand this historically. And Stark's conclusion at the end of the book was so baffling that Sun ended up converting to Christianity. Ain't God good like that? God to use the Bible, God to use history. God will use whatever He needs to get you to Him, won't He? Ain't He good? So here's what his conclusion was at the end of the book. He says, the Jesus movement would have grown equally as fast. Somebody say equally as fast. If the church had never said a word about their beliefs, but simply continued to live the lifestyle that they lived. Did you hear what I just said? This man said that if the early church never gathered on Sundays, never downloaded podcasts, never watched YouTube videos of their favorite preachers, they would have grown at the exact same rate. This forces us to ask the question, what was the early church doing that was so attractive to their non-believing neighbors? They didn't have social media. They didn't have big buildings. They didn't have big budgets. So how did they grow so quickly? Well, beloved, the answer is right here in the text. They grew because they gave. If you missed anything else, I need you to get that today. They grew because they gave. In today's text, the Apostle Paul is speaking to a rich church. The Corinthian church was a rich church. And he's trying to get this rich church to give like a poor church. Oh my God, you missed this. I said he's talking to a rich church. The Corinthian church, Corinth was a port city in the ancient world. It was a city of great trade and great. It was like New York. It was a harbor. It was covered by all these different trade routes. Everybody went through Corinth. They had their own Olympic Games. It was the second biggest city in the Roman Empire outside of Rome. Corinth was like that. It's a rich, privileged city. He's talking to a rich, privileged city, and he says, I want you to give like this poor church in Macedonia. This is how the principle of generosity works. So he says to them, he says, now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. These are the poor Christians. That in the midst of a very severe trial. Now, he's about to say some stuff that I ain't gonna lie to you. It got no business going together. Like the stuff he's about to put together don't really, they're not supposed to go in the same sentence, okay? But I'm just saying it because it's true, but I'm just telling you I was stuck all week on this, okay? He said, I want to tell you about the grace of God to the Macedonian churches. Okay, tell us, Paul. He said, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy. Wait, what? Huh? Stop right there. See, y'all missed that. Stop right there. Very severe trial. Overflowing what? How, Sway? How? Help me. I'm trying to find that, Jesus. Help me find that anointing. Where is that at? Very severe trial. No, very severe trial. I'm tired, Lord. I'm done. I'm throwing in the towel, Jesus. You got it. Very severe, overflowing joy. He says, yeah, keep going. They had overflowing joy. And then he says, and they had extreme poverty. But they welled up in rich. What? You know what, Paul? It's too early for this. I only have one cup of coffee today. I can't do this with you. Church, can I be pastoral for a second? Can I take off my preacher hat and just put on my pastor hat? Can I just be pastoral? Can I do that? I know that some of us are experiencing financial hardships right now. I know that. But let's be honest. None of us are experiencing extreme poverty. Now, I don't know how you define extreme poverty, but I tell you this, it's not the same as being broke. Y'all not talking to the preacher. It's not the same as having debt. It's not the same as having a roommate. It's not the same as living with your parents. It's not the same as being in between jobs. Somebody in between jobs. Somebody in between job got an in between job. That just heard you. I'm gonna tell you what extreme poverty looks like. Can I tell you what that looks like? Extreme poverty looks like 2/3 of the world. What do you mean, PK? Do you know that 2/3 of the human race lives on $2 a day? 2/3 of the human race lives on $2 a day. That means that 2 out of every 3 people on this planet is living a whole day on the train ride you took to church today. That means that your Uber that you was mad about this morning is about a week's worth of living for 2 out of every 3 people on this planet. Somebody say, I'm rich. You're not poor. You rich. That was the Macedonian situation. They were living on 2 cash a day, and nobody would have blamed them if Paul came to them and said, listen, we want to do this special offering for the church in Jerusalem. They're going through hardships. We want y'all to give sacrificially. Nobody would have blamed them if they would have been like, you know what, Paul? You know what? You know we love God, right? You know we love God. You know, you can love God, but we love God. You know, we love God. You know that, Paul. But you see, the way our bank account is set up, Got a checking and a savings. But all the money's in the savings. It's going to take 3 business days to transfer it. They might need the money by then, Paul, so it's all good. It's all, you know, don't even worry about it. Come back next year. We might got you. But even though the Macedonians were down bad, they still gave generously. And here's why that should challenge us. Many of us believe that we're not generous because we don't have enough money, but this passage tells you that money isn't what makes you generous. Grace makes you generous. Look at what the Bible says. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the what? About the what? Not the money, not the come up, the grace. The grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Grace makes you generous. There's nothing that makes you generous like grace, because grace says, I'm rich, but Jesus became poor for me. Grace says, I have eternal life because Jesus lost his life for me. Grace says, I'm clothed in righteousness because Jesus was stripped naked for me. And write this down. Generosity is always the fruit of grace. If you're not giving to God first today, if you're not tithing, if you're not living your life with an open hand, it's because grace hasn't yet changed your heart. There's no other reason. There's no financial reason. I don't care how much debt you got. I don't care if you ain't got no money at all. If you're not sowing into God's kingdom first, it's just because grace hasn't changed your heart. It doesn't mean you're not saved. Let me be clear. It doesn't mean you're not saved. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It just means that you haven't experienced the power and presence of God fully in your life. Because God is not just a savior. He is not just a redeemer. He is not just a king. He's a giver. Leads me to my second point. Say this with me. Your generosity, or just say my generosity, spreads the gospel. After Paul says that grace makes us generous, he says next that God uses your generosity to spread the gospel. He said, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Hey, yo, they wildin', yo. Like, I gotta see them in heaven. Like, yo, y'all ain't really have to put pressure on us like that, though. Y'all put the full court pressure. Y'all really had to do that, though? Like, you got me up here sweating because I'm preaching because you doing all that? Macedonians, come on. He said, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the, they begged him. They begged him for the privilege of serving God's people financially. They begged him. Paul says they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Translation, they gave their rent money. They gave their gas money. They gave their house note. They gave their car note. Y'all still not feeling me. This is going to hit somebody. They gave their monthly unlimited. I knew you was going to feel that one. Y'all felt that monthly unlimited, didn't you? Felt that right here. Just hit you right there, didn't it? They gave up that monthly unlimited. They didn't give in such a way that they were losing luxuries. They gave in such a way that they were losing necessities. And here's the most powerful thing about this statement. Paul says it was entirely on their own. They didn't need a sermon series to inspire them. They didn't need a worship team to motivate them. They didn't need leaders to teach them. They were so eager to fund God's mission that all they needed was a reason. Here's something for free. Generous people don't need to be inspired, motivated, or persuaded to give. They just need a reason. You still don't smell me? Look at verse 5. And they exceeded our expectations because they gave themselves first to the Lord. Who did they give themselves first to? Who did them get? To who? Paul says they gave themselves first to the Lord. We often give ourselves first to something other than Jesus, and that's our biggest problem. Can I talk to us right now? We give ourselves first to our goals and then second to our God. We give ourselves first to our relationships and then second to our Redeemer. We give ourselves first to our family and friends and second to the Father. And in the process, we give people who didn't define us, we give them the ability to define us. The people who didn't create us, we give the ability to define us. We give the people who didn't design us. That's the word I was looking for. Couldn't get it out. I found it, though. It's up there. It's a lot up there, but it was up there, though. Got a big head. It's a lot in there. But I found it. We give the people that didn't design us the ability to define us. That's why I had to find that bar for you, bro. I knew it was in there. You know that. Found it. Got more bars than Irish Spring. You know that. And we back. But my question for you today, family, is what if we reverse the order? How would giving yourself first to Jesus challenge the way you live today? You see, the Macedonians were generous because they didn't need people and possessions to give them worth anymore. They had already gotten their worth from the cross, which allowed them to live on purpose. Do you know what living on purpose financially looks like? Living on purpose is being a sower. That's purpose. You were created to sow. We were made from dirt to sow. Do you understand that you, yourself, you're walking dirt? That means that you're sown. Things are sown into you every day. That's why it's so important to be doing gardening on your heart. Because what people say about you, what people have done to you, what happened to you when you was a little boy or a little girl, words that were spoken that were harsh, things that were done, good and bad, they stay in you and they grow. Because you were made from dirt. You're soil. So you have to pull weeds out of your heart every day. This ain't even in my sermon, but I just feel like God wants me to stay right there for somebody. So we were made from dirt to sow seeds. Everything you're doing is seeding. God says, be fruitful and multiply. You can't be fruitful if you're not seedful. So you're always seeding. Everything you do is a seed. Everything you say is a seed. So we're constantly seeding the earth. And do you realize that your giving is a seed? If you've ever planted a seed, then you know that one little seed can grow into a whole tree. Right? We know that. That you can put a tomato into soil and be eating salads for the next 5 years. Do you understand that? I don't eat salads. But this is for the saints that do. This is the salad saints. Salad saints. I don't. I'm good on that. That you can put a seed into soil and be eating salads for the next 5 years. One little seed. Do you realize your giving is just, it's one little seed. It's one little seed. That if you give God the dime, do you understand that's what God is asking for? The dime? The dime. The dime. If you give God a tenth of every dollar, one little seed, you can grow something that you can eat off of. And, oh my God, I wish somebody could get this. That you can eat off of for the rest of your life. God wants you to know that if you keep sowing the seed of generosity into his kingdom, God would allow trees to grow that will feed you for the rest of your life. Trees of faith. Yeah, I'm talking to somebody right now. Trees of grace. Yeah, I'm talking to somebody. Trees of forgiveness. I'm talking to somebody who's been in bondage because of what somebody did to you. I'm talking to somebody who has not forgiven. You have moved on, but you have not forgiven. You have grown older, but you have not matured. You're stuck in what happened to you. You stuck in where you were. But trees of forgiveness can grow if you sow a seed. Trees of purpose can grow if you sow a seed. Trees of power can grow if you sow a seed. Trees of provision can grow. I'm talking to somebody who's experienced generational debt. Somebody whose mama's 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 was on food stamps. Just your whole family just Section 8 housing, project living, ain't never seen nothing else. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. Don't start ducking now. I'm talking to you. That you can sow seeds now that can break that chain for everybody in your lineage that comes after you. God will reward your seed with a tree. He's not going to reward your words. He's not going to reward your empty promises. He's not going to reward your vague commitments. He's not going to reward your once in a while, oh God, oh, I'm going to show up, I'm going to do it, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that, I'm going to sow, I'm going to give. He's not. He can't reward that. He rewards seeds that you sow. And here's the kingdom principle. Jesus says that the kingdom is like a farmer that doesn't sow one seed, but many. This is why it's not good enough to just give spontaneously. You see, I used to be a spontaneous giver. Oh, offering bucket came around. Dang, I forgot to go to ATM before church. Definitely not putting my debit card in there. So here's what I'm gonna do. Got 15, Lord, that's on you. I got five on it, Jesus. Go ahead, take the five, Jesus, take the five. I got five on the kingdom, I got five on it. Go get a chopped cheese, Jesus. Go get a chopped cheese, Jesus. I got you a chopped cheese. It's not good, chopped cheeses. They definitely gonna be in heaven. I don't wanna hear nothing. I definitely don't wanna hear nothing. A chopped cheese is definitely gonna be in heaven. Anyway, this is why it's not good enough to give spontaneously. You have to sow. Somebody say sow. Somebody say sow. You have to keep giving and giving and giving and giving. But I lost my job. And giving. But I got debt. And giving. But I just helped this family member need. And giving. But I started a business. And giving. But I'm in college. And giving. But I just had my first child. And giving. But my baby's in the hospital. And giving. But my car broke down. And giving. Am I preaching to anybody? You have to give when times are good. You have to give when times are bad. You have to give when you up, and you have to give when you down. Because in your giving, you're sowing. You're sowing. You're scattering seed. And here's the kingdom principle. Ooh, somebody get this in their spirit. It's going to change your life today. Here's what God says. God says, the more you sow. Let me try this side of the room. I said, God says, the more you sow, the more you reap. He said, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. But whoever sows generously, this is God talking, not me. This ain't the pastor talking. This is God's word. Whoever sows generously will reap what? Generously. You determine today what you reap. You determine what you reap. And some of y'all are mad at God. Well, God, you promised me this, and God, you promised me that, and God, you said I would be this, and you said I would be married by this, and you said I have this much money in the bank by that, and you said that I'll pay this off by that. And you getting all that God, and God is like, but what you sowed? You're eating the fruit that you put in the ground. You see, I don't like tomatoes, so I don't sow tomatoes. If you eating tomatoes because you sowed that, boo-boo, you are eating the fruit you sowed. Well, God, I wanted healing, and I wanted that, and I wanted this, and I wanted that. What did you sow? So you have to ask yourself this question. This is the only thing that matters to me. I wake up and ask myself this question every day. Do I want to eat the fruit that I'm sowing in the next 5 years of my life right now? In the next 5 years of my life, do I want to eat the fruit that I'm sowing in this season? Because you will. So you're eating what you've sowed. Is this helping anybody? I want to make sure this helps somebody. Your money is what funds God's mission. The lights you see, the stage I preach on, the stage we preach on, the events we do, the staff we hire, the impact we make, the lives we change, happens because you sow. And God's word to you is this: if you sow generously into his house, you will reap generously in yours. God doesn't forsake the faithful, especially those who are faithful to his agenda, to spread his gospel to the ends of the earth. See, you giving to this church makes this church possible. You know what it also does? It also allows us to be a church that sows. Did you know today that your church, this church, the Gathering Harlem, gives 10% of our yearly budget to global and local missions around the world? Did you know that we have helped start churches in our little 5 years of existence? This little church right here in Central Harlem and the Alhambra Ballroom has helped start churches in Lagos, Nigeria, Paris, France, California, Baltimore, Delaware. Did y'all know that? That we give 10%, we tithe as a church, 10% of resources that we don't have. Y'all know we've been losing money. We're going to still give 10% this year. Did y'all hear what I just said? I said we are in a $100,000 deficit as a church this year. We're still giving 10%. We are tithing because we will reap what we sow. Third and final point, and I'm out y'all way. Is this helping y'all? Is this blessing y'all? All right, third point. Our generosity is powered by the gospel. The Bible says, so we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. He says, but since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness in the love we have kindled in you, see to it that you also excel in the grace of giving. I'm not commanding you. See, I like when Paul says that. See, I'm your pastor. I'm not commanding you. I'm just giving you the word of God. I don't write the mail, I just deliver it. I'm not commanding you. He says, I'm not commanding you. I'm Paul. I could command you, but I'm not. He says, but I just want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it to the earnestness of others. Now, Paul has given this incredible testimony of this generosity of poor Christians, and now he turns to the Corinthian church, a church full of privilege, like TGH. A church full of privilege. You ain't living on $2 a day, I'll tell you that. A church full of privilege financially, like TGH, and he says, what's your next move? What's your next move? He said, I'm not commanding you, but I am testing you. I want to test the sincerity of your love. I want to test the authenticity of your worship. I want to test the genuineness of your faith. I want to test it by comparing it to brothers and sisters in Christ who have overflowed in generosity, even though they were overwhelmed by poverty. So what will we do, church? What are we gonna do, TGH? Will we be a people that excel in everything? Faith, speech, knowledge, preaching, worship, justice, community, but not in generosity? Are we going to be a church that excels in everything except the one area that looks most like Jesus? See, what you don't understand today is we're not Christians because Jesus had power. We're not Christians because Jesus had favor. We're not Christians because Jesus did miracles. We're not Christians because Jesus was the Son of God. We are Christians because Jesus was generous. The most famous passage in the Bible reads, for God so loved the world that he what?
Gave.
That he what?
Gave.
That he what?
Gave.
God so loved the world that he gave. And what did he give? Did he give money? No. Did he give miracles? No. Did he give power? No. He gave his son. God is a giver. You're a Christian today because God gave something. Not because he loves you. It's because he proved he loved you by what he gave you. Oh, somebody needs to wake up and say this with me. Generosity saved me.
Generosity.
Say it louder. Generosity freed me.
Generosity
delivered me. And generosity gave me a hope and a future. You see, it's not just God that did that. It was God's generosity that did that. I gotta close. I gotta get out y'all way. I'll stay up here all day. This is why Paul doesn't end this conversation by giving the law. He doesn't end this conversation by giving the law. The law says to give a tenth of everything you have to God. That's the law. He doesn't end the conversation by giving the law. Instead, he gives them the gospel. Do you know what he said? He said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, For your sake, somebody say, for my sake.
My sake.
For my sake, he became poor so that you through his poverty might become rich. Family, according to Paul, the standard for Christian giving isn't the tithe. I know I just messed you up because we've been talking about tithing for 3 weeks. Tithe. But understand that the standard of Christian giving isn't the tithe. Our standard isn't Malachi 3:10. It's John 3:16. Let me ask you this question. Did Jesus give a tenth of his blood for you? That side of the room is still doing the math. I said, did Jesus give a tenth of his blood for you? Or did he give all of his blood for you? Did Jesus give a tenth of his life for you? Or did he give all of his life for you? Did Jesus give a tenth of his body for you on the cross? Or did he give all of his body to you on the cross? So do you think God wants a tenth of whatever you got? Or do you think he wants all? Somebody say all. All of whatever you got. He wants it all. But he'll settle for a tenth. But that's not your standard. Your standard is if Jesus wanted 100% of my savings, it's his. Your standard is if Jesus wanted my job tomorrow, it's his. Your standard is if Jesus wanted my car next week, it's his. That's your standard. He wants it all. See, Jesus was rich. He had everything. He was the eternal word, the second person of the Trinity. He had angels worshiping him in Isaiah. He walked through the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He wrestled with Jacob and he brought down Jericho. He had all the privileges of eternal glory in front of him. Yet he looked over the lip of heaven and he had all that power. But he realized, I don't have you. I got angels worshiping me, but I don't have you. And he thought it was worth abandoning all that to come to earth, to become a man. Laugh, cry, and die just for you. I don't know why he did that for me. He overpaid for me. But because Jesus overpaid for me, there is nothing he can't ask me to give him. Family, the only reason that we're not generous, the only reason we aren't regularly sowing into God's kingdom is because we don't really believe the gospel. You don't believe the gospel. I'm closing on this. You don't believe the gospel. Paul says, if you don't believe in your own spiritual poverty, then you can't receive true wealth from God. So today, God is inviting you not to believe in tithing, but to believe the gospel. That he was rich, and for your sake, he became poor so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Now remember when we began this sermon, we said that the measure of your life isn't found in what you can acquire, but in how much of it you can give away. Y'all remember that? So as we end this series, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. I don't know if this is your church or not. I don't know how long you've been coming or not. I don't know if you've joined and you're a member or not. But if you believe in this mission, if you know God has fed you, if he has fed your family, if he has fed your friends, if he has fed those that you love and he's fed you through the ministry, through any ministry that this church does, then sow into this house, sow into this church, sow into what we're doing. Everything that God has promised us is right in front of us if we sow. The problem with TGH right now in our giving is not that we don't have the ability to. It's that we don't do it consistently. We give sparingly. So literally, there's a Sunday that we'll have an offering that will literally be astronomical. Like if we gave like that every week, we could go start a church in LA next year. We can go buy a building next year. Right now, with what we got right here, we can sow, we have that potential to do that in some Sundays. Then the next Sunday, it'll be like, Lord, if Lord, if you don't send help, we're going to be on the street next week. And it blows my mind how a church can one week be that generous and the next week be that stingy. And I don't understand what's maybe going on in your financial situation, but I know that God isn't like that with you. I know that God is consistent with you. Imagine if God said, okay, one week you can have a job, the next week you can't. But this is how we treat God. And what has shown me, what the Holy Spirit has shown me, is our church has the ability. We have enough right now in our hand to go get ourselves a building. Alhambra, this place is going to raise our rent by $3,500 next year. And I'm sitting here thinking, as your pastor, I don't think we can afford it. Not at the rate we give, week to week. But if we just gave consistently one week, like we gave that one Sunday, we gave like that every Sunday, we can buy our own building. This church will grow because you sow. If you don't sow, we don't grow. Doesn't matter how good our preaching is. Doesn't matter how good our worship is. Doesn't matter how good any of this is. If this is your church, sow. Somebody say sow. And I don't. And I'm not leaving it to chance. I'm not saying wait till you feel like it. I'm saying open up your phone, download the Church Center app, set up reoccurring giving because you can't see it coming out. You just got to do it in faith. Sow. I'm not begging you to sow. I'm testing the sincerity of your faith. And if you don't sow, we don't grow. And we have to stand before God and give an account for whatever we did with what he gave us. So as we end this series, I want to call to the altar. Anybody in this house who has made the decision that they're going to sow at the end of the series, if you know, prayer team, come on up to the front. If you know that this is your house and God has made it abundantly clear to you that whatever number he's determined in your heart, and again, I told you, the tithe is not the standard. You give whatever you want. My family, can I tell you what I'm doing as your pastor? My family, we're giving, me and my wife just did the math yesterday. We're giving right now, tithing, 13% of our income to the church. But when you count what we give to other things, it's really more like 15. We're just giving sacrificially. I've been giving a faith offering in this series above the 13% I already tithe to the church. Because, and look at me. Y'all ever seen a day I ain't fly? You think my family missing meals? I look broke or poor to any of y'all? I'm giving away 15% of what I make. What you think God is going to do for you? What you think God is going to do for you? I raised $1 million to start this church. $1 million to start this church. I don't have a millionaire in any of my networks. Why do you think God let me do it? Because he knew what I'd do with the money. Does God know what you'll do with the money? If you are on the fence about sowing, come up to the front. If you have made the decision to sow, come up to the front. We got 5 sowers. Who's sowing into the house today? If you give already or you've made the decision to give already, come to the front. The reason why I'm calling you to the front is because I have sowed a faith offering into this series, and I'm believing God that whatever we sow, where we will reap generously. Who's believing that in faith with me? Who's believing that in faith with me? All right. Keep on coming to the front. This is beautiful. Keep on coming to the front. Heads bowed and arms extended, I want to ask God to bless your decision to sow. Heavenly Father, these are your people. Your word says that if we sow sparingly, we will reap sparingly. But if we sow generously, we will reap generously. Father, today, I'm praying over the decision that each and every person at this altar and in this church and who's watching online is deciding to make to sow. God, they're not sowing into TGH. God, they could sow into anything in this world as long as you're calling them to sow into it. But the fact that they have made the decision to sow into this house because they believe it's good soil to grow whatever they want to eat from in their future. God, I pray that you will bless what they sow into this soil. I pray that fruit will grow in their lives, that they will be pleased to partake in. I pray, God, that relationships will become healthy. I pray, God, that healing will come to their loved ones. I pray, God, that financial breakthrough will come through their generations. I pray, God, that you will pour out a blessing from heaven that they can't contain. God, I pray, God, a special favor over each dollar that they sow, God. I pray, God, that you will multiply it. We know that you don't do math. You don't do addition, rather. You do multiplication. God, we know that you multiply. So may you multiply whatever they do. May you multiply whatever they sow. Break after this series, God. I'm believing that we will go from inconsistent to consistent. I'm believing, God, that we will go from sowing sparingly to sowing generously. I'm believing, God, that we will go from fans to participants. From takers to givers. God, I'm believing this in faith. I'm sowing it in faith. We are sowing it in faith. God, make us the church that you died for us to be. Thank you for dying for us. Forgive us for not showing how much we love you.